Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Anime Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Steve Petrick, an enthusiastic Guelphite, but one that's made transit his issue. Taking it, supporting it, and improving it. It's been a tough year for Guelph's public transit system, and an especially tough summer, so it seemed like an ideal time to have a sit-down with a fellow transit nerd and talk about those issues. Steve Petrick and I get on the proverbial bus to talk about the literal bus this week, as the podcast is all about buses, but first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all the money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you'll be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. And now on with the show. So far this year, Guelph's transit users have seen an increase in the cost of passes, the implementation of one-hour service on statutory holidays, and the loss of peak service during the summer months. Each move has created a new wave of criticism as the public declared that the city seems to have no interest in improving transit, even though it's soon to undertake a major revamp of the system that will see new routes, expanded services, and increased frequency. So how do we reconcile this paradox? How can a city that bills itself as green keep playing keep away by not giving citizens the most straightforward and obvious method of decreasing carbon emissions, which is the maintaining of a robust and responsive transit system? These are questions I've struggled with, and I know others have struggled with them too. So tired of talking to myself about it, I decided to bring in a fellow transit supporter, Steve Petrick. Petrick is an outspoken supporter of alternative transportation, public transit in particular. When a transit issue comes before council, you can always find him delegating, otherwise he regularly writes and advocates for more transit and more support for transit, even in official capacity as a former member of the Transit Advisory Committee. So, you can consider this a state of the bus report as Petrick and I talk about the problems, the potential solutions, and the big ideas of where transit wants to go in the near future. I think it's a frank and honest talk between two transit users, and I hope you feel the same. So I caught up with Steve Petrick recently in downtown Guelph. Okay, so Steve Petrick, thank you for talking to me today.
No problem.
For people who perhaps are listening to this and want to make sure that we're just not buddies and I'm talking to you to, like, to hear ourselves talk, but you have actual acumen when it comes to transit. You have been on the inside, so tell us your transit acumen.
Where do I begin?
Yeah.
It began when I was 4 years old.
In 1987.
Actually, you know, that first time I ever rode transit was when I was like 3 or 4. And with my mom, I think the transit stop was over at Grange and Stevenson. And I remember it distinctly because there was a birthday party going on up the street, and there was a guy dressed in a monkey costume chasing somebody. I'm 4, and
right.
I'm like, what's going on here?
You thought it was Planet of the Apes.
I was like, what is this? So that was interesting, but that's kind of where my interest in buses kind of came in transit. I didn't get really more involved with it until I was on the youth council in 97, and that's when I interest peaked on transit issues, especially for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of went from there. And when I ran for council in 2000, I was the only 19-year-old. I like to say that a lot. And that I learned a lot of transit issues then. So, yeah, then when I first applied for the Transit Advisor Committee in 2003,
mm-hmm.
that gave me more links inside. I knew people in the industry, like bus drivers and managers of transit from other cities over the years, and that gave me an insight in Guelph more. So I learned a lot then, and I learned why a lot of things didn't get done. And they still, when you think about the manager of Transit then saying to me why they couldn't do things is they didn't have the resources. And I kind of fast forward to today, and I hear the same thing.
Right.
We don't have the resources. Right. Well, okay.
Right.
I don't know if that's
transit. The face has changed.
Yeah, yeah. It's all the same.
But more than just being a transit rider, you were on the transit advisory committee, but you still, when there's a transit issue on coming up before council, you are there. You are there to be a delegate, to testify, if you will, whether this is a good idea, a bad idea.
Well, after years of riding it, not just in Guelph, but also in other cities, when I was following the storm many years ago, my friend and I used to go to other cities. We'd use their transit systems because we didn't drive.
Right.
Still don't drive. So we kind of, you know, you learn a lot as you go city to city. And when I was living in Toronto for a couple of years, it was nice to have that perspective from the outside,
right,
looking in, and kind of you learn the nuances of what people say about your system.
Right.
And I've heard things about the Guelph system and other systems, so...
Well, it's weird because we look at something like Grand River Transit and we think, that's the way transit should be.
Yeah.
And but if you go to Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, talk to people about Grand River Transit, there are probably a myriad of complaints on their end. And they're probably like, what are you talking about? Our system is crap.
Yeah.
It always seems like the grass is greener when we're talking about these things.
People have this tendency to compare systems a lot. And
right.
It's apples and oranges. We all know that. But regular riders don't, you know, necessarily understand that unless you really get involved and learn these nuances. One of the best things you hear about is cash fare. We pay $3. Oh, they pay $3.25 in Toronto and they get all this. Well, those are two different things, you know,
right,
in terms of population, in terms of ridership, in terms of service levels. They're you know, you can't compare the cash fare and to the system. But at the same time, you can take the best practices from other cities and modify them to your city. And I've been pushing Guelph to do that a few, and they've done some things, but a lot of stuff, it's kind of, you know, resources, we don't have it. Council hasn't given us the money,
right,
you know, yada yada. It's kind of, it's one of those things, so. But if people, I know people like to complain about this system in Guelph specifically, and then go, oh, GRT's better, or TTC's better, but yeah, they have to understand those cities are typically bigger.
Right.
And they typically have the resources that we don't have. We're getting there, obviously. Recently, the general manager of transit put together a moving Guelph forward, the transit priority. That plan that's coming forward, hopefully, if council approves it, is where we should be going.
Right.
After years of riding this system, you know, it's been Band-Aid solution. The current system, when it was implemented, I mean, it was great. It was a lot of positives. But when it came time to put that theory into reality, the reality didn't fit theory, and then we'd have more troubles than a monkey. You could shake a stick at a monkey or whatever, you know.
At a kid's birthday party.
Yeah, you know.
It's funny you should mention that, though, because I do remember that, and it seemed to be like a perfect storm of, I don't know, crapulence, because it seemed like the drivers were not as well trained on the routes as they should have. People were not as informed that this future change was coming. And I tell this story all the time. I remember walking up to the store, and this was along Westwood, and they changed the side of the road the bus stop is on.
Yeah, to the other side.
Right. And so I'm walking down the street, and there's somebody standing at the old bus stop. And I say to him, you know, the bus doesn't stop there anymore. And he's like, well, I've been standing here for an hour and a half, and I've seen the bus go the other way, like three times. And I'm like, at no point did curiosity kick in and go, why is the bus going the other way? But, I mean, that's... I think you're right. There were a lot of good ideas in there, and it seemed to be just executed really poorly. And that, but then the result was, okay, well, we're going to, instead of having the industrial bus go three times a day, It's going to go all day, even though it's empty the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Or near empty once it gets past World or West Mall.
The theory was that that would work. It worked in some cities. I didn't like it, personally. I mean, I was on the advisory committee then, and we tried to raise a lot of these things
right.
at the time. I mean, the people that were in charge, it was kind of, it could be a bit difficult, I guess, dealing with them. It was just their, you know, they were sticking to the theory, and
who was
that
difficult?
Was it. Whoever was the manager at the time, okay. the transit. So it was interesting. you know, there's a lot of stuff that transit's done well, but a lot of stuff we've kind of dropped the ball on, or council hasn't put enough resources to transit to do.
Or taking resources away.
Or they've taken resources away, like they've done this summer with right. with hourly service and the holiday service, which is hit or miss depending on the holiday.
Right.
Canada Day, I've heard stories, people just like fed up because
it was bad.
The buses were just packed.
Right.
And they just drove and parked. And like, this is what we're trying to get people out of their cars and kind of, oh, well, sorry, but we need to keep our taxes artificially low this year until
yeah.
next year when we up them again. So I don't know. It can be frustrating sometimes in this city.
Absolutely. Speaking of the summer experience, we were talking before recording, you try to avoid transit in the summer, you're saying. I don't know if that's because you're trying to be fit on your bike or...
It's mostly because I'm on my bike.
Yeah. But it does seem like if there's a summer to avoid transit, it has been this one. And I know my experience trying to get to the bottom of why these buses were routinely being late. It took 2 months to get the answer, and it's because they have this adjusted schedule where it was always meant to get downtown late. It was like a hybrid
yeah.
between 40-minute and 30-minute, even though there's no 40-minute. And it was just bizarre.
It definitely was... Probably not as well executed as it could have been. We've heard rumors. We have all heard, like, maybe it's the drivers who are fed up. Maybe,
right. Maybe
you know, management didn't really do their job as well as they would have. But I don't know. I'm the current routes are built around a 30-minute hub and spoke.
Yeah.
And they have trouble even maintaining that in 2016. And we told them this back in like 2003,
right.
that the system was stretched thin and we're still, you know, the elastic is starting to break. So with what they proposed with these new routes is better execution of the resources. Some routes are going to be there every 30 minutes, some every 20, some every 10, and buses will be where they should be going. As for this summer, I've heard lots of transfers missed, a lot of, you know, it was kind of like when the routes were first introduced in 2012, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like, oh, well, why are we repeating this cycle? Did we not understand what happened last time, you know?
It is weird to think about the hub and spoke system because the change made in 2012 was to sort of try and mitigate that. It seemed like kind of be halfway to what they're wanting to do and what
yeah,
they have
yeah.
done. And people seem to rebel against that notion. People, you know, we seem to be hearing all the time the hub and spoke system doesn't work, but when they make a move away from it, the people go, no, 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 why are you moving away from this? And one of the examples of that is St. George's Square.
Mm-hmm.
There was one bus that went to through St. George's Square and all the others went around, which
yeah.
makes sense when you think downtown, yeah. there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but then people got an uproar. Businesses in St. George's, they're part of it, got an uproar too. And then, you know, next thing you know, now there's 7 or 8 buses that
yeah.
go through the square.
I don't blame them. I think there was a misunderstanding
right.
with the management at the time. With the understanding was that they wanted all the buses removed from the square.
Mm.
But they must have understood that as they wanted buses like not running through the square.
Right.
Because we all know they were sitting in the square for 50 years, you know. So it was kind of, I think there was a bit of a miscommunication.
Mm.
And it took forever to address that. You know, it took people to raise their voice on that.
Right.
And one of the funny parts is that we're about to get go down that road again, because the main line that they're proposing along Corridor Norfolk and Woolwich won't go to Guelph Central Station because of the timing issue.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for that to blow up, you know. and here we go, you know, we need to figure that out. I just got that gut feeling.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy saying, I told you so.
Yeah.
But...
Well, realistically, we shouldn't wait for anything to blow up.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But it does seem communication is one of the key problems through a lot of these, or the key thing in all these problems is that things aren't communicated properly, whether that is because of an institutional thing. People think they are communicating enough. I'm not saying that city communications and transit aren't doing their jobs right. Perhaps they think they're doing enough, but the message doesn't seem to get out for some reason.
They don't have the resources like other municipalities. They have a tough time getting info out. I mean, they're great on Twitter, usually. The website has been better these days, especially with detours and other stuff. They've been really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But getting that out there and getting people to go to those resources, that's a bit the trick to doing it. And they're struggling a little bit on that, but they're getting there. It's going to take some time, a little bit more money, obviously. Sorry, Cam. but these are the things, these are the next steps that, you know... but I do agree that there's sometimes they do drop the ball, and sometimes it's last minute. Sometimes they only find out an hour before, or a bus breaks down, and it's hard to get that kind of info out.
Right.
They all transit systems struggle with that. The ones that have the money can get that info out, like TTC, for example. They're all over the map.
Right.
You'd see it on CP24, for goodness sake, you know.
Yeah.
But in Guelph, you know, it's I don't expect it, but I do expect them to at least get what they know out there as quickly as possible.
Right.
Even if it is on Twitter. We just, it's an education thing. We need to just get people to say, you know, go to Twitter or go to this spot or whatever. As
on the other hand, it says on the 12 Transit Twitter feed
that only 8 to 5.
This 8 to 5 every day on Monday to Friday is only monitored. So if you're waiting for your bus at 9:15 on a Sunday morning and somebody didn't and this happens. Somebody doesn't show up, so they don't send that first bus out.
That happened to me during a snowstorm.
Yeah.
At 5:45 on a weekday. Because of the snow and the delays. And then there was the time that Cardin Street was closed because of a police investigation first thing in the morning.
Right.
And buses were all moved to in front of the cooperators. They didn't communicate that until closer to 9, you know. And I can understand, like, there is a gap. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources. I don't know. It's just one of the things where they need to go to council and kind of argue it, and it's up to council to make that decision. I don't know if this council or future councils will want to spend that kind of money on somebody sitting around all day.
Maybe it's not even that someone sitting around all day. It's like there's a transit supervisor.
Yeah, down we should at the be communicating hub. That.
You should like have a. If only there was some way of like maybe on a handheld device and you can send out missives.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. I think that it needs more research.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that transit should look into and see what other systems do to do it on the cheap.
Right.
But yeah, they're. I think there's a lot coming down the pipeline that will eventually we'll be able to get that kind of info out faster. But Guelph's a medium-sized city, medium-sized transit system. I don't expect them to be like Brampton. You know, we're going to be like Brampton.
Yeah.
No, you know, not like Brampton, but...
Not a failed downtown surrounded by big box stores, you know, but yeah.
Brampton Transit type of thing. We're going to be kind of like them, and they're really good at communicating... Their route, the ridership grew. When they changed their routes, their ridership went up.
Right.
Huge. Because of the similar system that we're aiming to go towards in 2017.
Do you think that's going to go down in 2017? Do you think they're not going to delay it again because of budget pressure?
It's up to council on that. That's going to be a tough call on them. Is it a priority to them? There's a lot of things on the city's plate.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want the taxes to go up anymore. Some people want to see money spent on other things, like a library. It's going to be tough. I know there's a good majority of counselors that are committed to transit.
Yeah, this is not a transit-unfriendly council.
No, for the most part.
Yeah.
Although sometimes you do get those tweets out there and you go, okay, well, that person just said that on Twitter.
Are you talking about what specific tweet?
And there was a few, actually. And then they go on the horseshoe and they say something different. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, what's going on here? It's,
right.
But it's politics sometimes kind of gets in there. One of those tweets I remember was somebody asking about Sunday night service.
Right.
Something that we haven't progressed on.
Yeah.
And the tweet was kind of like, you know, well, it's not your personal limo or personal bus, but... But the argument, it's not a want, it's an actual need.
Right.
If counselors read that proposal that went forward to them recently, it says right in there from the general manager of economic development that businesses want improved transit, they need improved transit. So if the businesses are saying it, if your own staff are saying it, then maybe we should do something about it and not kind of brush it off as, oh, it's, you know, kind of it's a want, not a necessarily need.
Yeah, there are businesses like Walmart, who I know a lot of people aren't fans of, obviously, but a lot of people in Guelph work at Walmart. A lot of the people who work at Walmart tend to take transit.
Yeah.
And if they want to work on a Sunday, they have to do the 9-to-6 shift because they can't go early. I think the store probably opens earlier than that.
Yeah, 7 a.m.
Yeah, and they can't stay past 6 because how are they going to get home, or they have to get a cab home?
It's just not that. There's manufacturers out there. I know a couple of them that struggle to get people to work Sunday nights.
Shift start at 11.
Yeah, or the buses stop too late.
Yeah.
There's one time I ran into somebody trying to go from the north end of Guelph to the south and industrial area at 5:45. His shift started at 6:30. He was not going to make it.
No.
I told him on the bus up, take a cab. You're not going to make it. You know, it's just, there's a lot of little things that we could do, but it's really up to, you know, money, resources, and you know, getting management and council to listen to those suggestions and ideas. And sometimes I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be frustrating, but sometimes, you know, it gets through the cracks and you get their attention and they address it. And there's been some great things that they've done over the last 2-3 years, especially under the current manager of transit.
Mm-hmm.
He's really moved us forward and really started to clean up a lot of the issues that you've seen. Not the council caused issues, obviously, this summer, but, you know, other issues that university students and have had issues with and regular riders. So I don't see as many complaints on Twitter anymore. You know, I remember when it was like a trending topic. You know, every day it was 2 dozen complaints, and these days maybe it's 1 or 2 or 3.
Although you go to Facebook, the Facebook page for Guelph Transit, I pointed this out, I think it was from James Gordon last week when he was on Open Sources. You go to the Guelph Transit business page, and the rating is 1.7 out of 5.
Yeah, I've looked at it. I think it went from like a 3 when the system really started to go struggle for a while there, and it went down. It was a lot of complaints.
Mm.
But they've seemed to have migrated most of that. You still get the odd complaint here and there, and there is issues, obviously.
There will never not be issues.
It's never, like, every transit system's got their problems.
Yeah.
I think we're on the right track where we're going, where transit's trying to go, at least. It really is, you know...
Yeah.
It's really the will of council to go, you know, take that and move it.
Yeah, you want to see problems, you know, go to Toronto on a Thursday morning when the Bloor line shut down south of...
Oh, I've been I've experienced that. I work in Toronto, so I know the drill.
Yeah, so like those are problems. I do wonder though how much of an impact, you know, you go to, perhaps you're interested in taking transit, but you see the things on Twitter, you see the Facebook rating, you hear people's personal stories, because, you know, they teach you this in retail.
Mm-hmm.
The bad experiences outweigh the numerous good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
you have one bad experience, it flushes away nine great experiences.
Yeah, yeah. The bad press, too, doesn't necessarily help. And it really comes down to customer service.
Yeah.
You know, they've done some customer service training. They're doing it right now during the summer because they've been able to get people in because they have the time,
right.
Obviously. I know there's still some bad apples. Every transit system's got a bad apple. You know, you're never going to have every driver, you know, happy and perky all the time. Everybody has a bad day. But if riders have an issue, if it seems to be consistent, mm-hmm. just, you know, write down the bus time, bus number, send in a complaint, and ask for a follow-up. That's something that I've always encouraged, is that it's one thing for transit to say, okay, we're looking into it.
Right.
Ask for a follow-up so that you can make sure that they address it, and it's just not swept aside. Because some people get that impression that, oh, they don't really care.
Right. Or they post to, again, to Twitter or Facebook or Reddit or something, and think, well, that's that.
It's been handled,
where to
right?
Go.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just follow up on it. It's a good practice, and it comes in handy, and it keeps them accountable. And if you don't like their answer, go to the next level. That'd be your counselor.
Yeah.
And if you don't like what that counselor says, then go to the next level. And that's the mayor and the entire council. And if you don't like that, well, you're kind of out of options.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least you can, you know, get their ear.
Do you think the drivers are a bit put upon because they're kind of the face? They're the, like, you don't see your counselor on the street all the time. You don't see Phil Mahar on the street all the time. If you could identify Phil Mahar on site, I'm not sure I could. But, you know, they're kind
his mustache.
Yeah. but, you know, the drivers are out there every day.
Yeah. And they're the front line employees. They're like the garbage men and women that work in the city. They're, you know, they will get the complaints. They're the ones that you see. Every city has that, you know, issue. Everybody's doing their best to move forward. I think Guelphson is moving forward on that and addressing that. Maybe not as quickly as I would like, but, you know, it is what it is. We only have so many dollars, so much time.
Yeah.
But I've seen improvements. You know, there's some great drivers out there that if you just sit there and watch who they talk to, you know, people get to know the drivers and whatnot and become friendly with them.
Let's talk a bit aspirationally for as we kind of wind down here. If cost was not an option, what improvement would you like to see made as someone who uses transit?
If cost wasn't an option. obviously, everybody would love 24 hours, 7 day a week free transit, but we're not a European city.
Right.
it would be great if there was stable funding,
right,
and predictability, then I think we'd be able to move things forward quickly. You know, it'd be nice to see better connections to GO Trains and interregional transit that they've been talking about since I've been in grade, like, 9.
Yeah.
It's been on the books for a while. But it's... if they had the money, things would go a little quicker. Yeah, you know, I've waited for a lot of things, and it took them 6-7 years. Even the schedules on the posts, you know, that took almost a decade to get done. It's crazy how long it can take sometimes because of money and resources.
But they seem to be changed every 4 months with relative ease.
Yeah, well, middle of the night.
Yeah. I always ask this whenever I talk to people about transit or passionate about transit, and it seems to be like the key sort of thing to making this better is how do we get more people out of their cars? And it's just, this is the thing I always struggle with, and I'm sure you've struggled with it too. And I'm sure there are times you say you work in Toronto. I'm sure there are times you think, well, it would be super easier for me just to get in my driveway, get in my car, to somewhere where you can like just take the subway and like go park in Yorkdale or whatever.
Toronto is a good example because you see a good mix of ridership.
Right.
From those in the low-income brackets to making 100,000 plus a year.
Yeah.
They have a great diversity of ridership, and they've done a great job of making it, you know, the better way. You know, this is what you should be using. For smaller, medium-sized cities like Guelph, it's going to be a struggle to convince people to come over. I always say is, try to take a day and just plan your activities around using the bus once a month. I'm not asking for much, you know. If it's something that, in an activity that where you can avoid driving, like say going to Ribfest, take the bus. Get a day pass. You know, it's like $8 or something, you know. You can get a group on the weekend, 2 adults and 3 kids, I think is the number, and go. Like that's a lot better than driving.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like you need to get that out there, and Guelph hasn't sold that as well as it could. Again, resources are an issue. So if we give them the resources, will it convince everybody? Probably not. But at least it might. If we can get a couple more cars off the road, I'd be happy.
Well, I hope, or at least my hope with all these things is to sort of hopefully leave the issue a bit better and cast some light on it, cast some light on some of the positive things, and I hope in the end, perhaps people do take your advice and for that one day a month, get out of the car, get on the bus. Perhaps they'll be pleasantly surprised how much they dig it. Do you dig it? I take it. You could take your car every day.
If I owned one.
Yeah, but you could.
I could. If I really wanted to, I could.
There's no economic barrier to you.
To a point.
Well, in so much as there's an economic barrier.
There's a lot of
insurance.
There's a lot of incentives with transit. You get 15% back on your monthly passes. So
right.
I mean, there is bonuses and help with the environment. And you know.
Well, I hope more people live like you, Steve, and are as passionate about transit as you.
I hope so, too.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
No problem.
And once again, that was Stephen Petrick. You can follow his thoughts and opinions on transit and other Guelph matters at stephenpetrick.com and on Twitter at Stephen_Petrick. You can also follow Petrick's Chronicle of Royal City History with Vintage Guelph on Facebook at facebook.com/vintageguelph. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. For the music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you've missed the recent episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media outlets in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And thank you to everyone who continues to support Guelph Politico through Patreon. For all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.com, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.